Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, September 15th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, I don't know if you've been paying attention to our podcast feed today, but I dropped in a special little mini episode.
It was like magic.
Just abracadabra, podcast appear. Yes, I did a little sit-down interview with Jeff Hobson, the trickster from the Illusionist Magic crew. He was here in Orlando late last week doing a little publicity for their upcoming North American tour. Sat down, talked about the Illusionist, what makes it so appealing to theatrical audiences, because not only do they have national and international tours, they've also had TV shows, but they've also been doing a Broadway version of their show the last two holiday seasons, and this season will be their third. It'll be a different cast. Jeff was on Broadway the last 2 years. He'll be on the tour this year. But he talked about some different magic things, how he got involved with magic, and why The Illusionist is such an enjoyable experience. So check that out, and I'll have a special little video maybe next week or as they get closer to their tour stop here in Orlando, where he did a little magic trick for me and involved me in it. I'm not exactly sure how he did it, but we'll post that video on Broadway World Orlando sometime here in the next few weeks.
Did you check to make sure you had your watch?
I don't wear a watch. But
that's got to be a bitch for him doing these things, because nobody's wearing watches anymore.
I know. Well, I used to wear a watch, and then it broke, and I was like, why am I going to pay for this? I've got a cell phone. So, you know.
You're such a traditionalist. All right. Up in the news, the King and I national tour finds its leads.
It's leads.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. Anyway, yes. James, when you spoke to Ted Chapin a few weeks ago, last month, did he give any indication that he had a special fondness for Mary Poppins?
Yeah, we talked about that for about 45 minutes, but we had to cut that section for time.
Ah, totally makes sense. Because first, he cast Broadway's first Mary Poppins, Ashley Brown, as the Mother Abbess in the Jack O'Brien tour of The Sound of Music. And today, it was announced that Laura Michelle Kelly, who originated the role on stage over in London, would be playing Miss Anna in The King and I when the tour launches in October. Joining her on the road will be Broadway radio friend Jose Lana as the King of Siam, a role he has played multiple times on Broadway. And I was lucky enough to be a part of the This Week on Broadway episode when we interviewed him and talked to him about that. So maybe we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But the tour is directed by Bart LaSure, as was the Tony-winning Broadway revival last season, or 2 seasons ago now, and it launches from Providence, Rhode Island on October 30th. We will have a link to the full cast and a list of all the tour stops in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. And that interview you did with Ted and then another one with Bart talked a lot about this upcoming King and I tour.
I want to point out that every name mentioned in the previous story we've interviewed James, on Broadway Radio.
When you're getting close to like 450 hours of programming.
Oh, we have much more than that.
Much more than that. Okay. Well, I was just going to say on This Week on Broadway. Yes. But there's a pretty good chance that many big stars are going to show up in those archives.
One of my favorite interviews was Ashley Brown. We had such a fun time talking. And I don't even remember what show she was plugging at the time, but we had a fun time. It was a Pops, New York Pops concert that she was doing. Because I knew that it wasn't back during the time of Mary Poppins. It was after that. So, yeah. We'll link to a bunch of those in the show notes.
Okay. Cool.
Because they're fun interviews.
And you've had Laura Michelle Kelly on before?
Yeah, I think we have.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we have, but I think everybody else definitely, but I think Laura Michelle Kelly was in the very beginning of Broadway Radio.
Gotcha. Well, I loved her interview with Patrick over at Theater People, and to be honest with you, if I could only hear one voice for the rest of my life, both speaking and singing, it might be hers, because that accent of hers is just beautiful. She is, pardon the pun, practically perfect in every way. So big thumbs up to Laura Michelle Kelly. The tour is not coming to Orlando, so I might have to go over to Tampa to make sure I can check it out.
Now, if Laura Michelle Kelly has the perfect voice,
don't give me these Sophie's choices.
If we put her in last 5 years, would that annoy you because she has got a perfect voice?
Well, I think she would. Well, I don't know if she could be able to keep the British accent for the last 5 years or not, but maybe. I don't know.
See why not. Tons of British women who live in New York City.
in New Jersey. Yeah, I think she said, doesn't Kathy come from New Jersey? I think so. Anyway,
oh, you're right.
I'm willing to try it. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
All right, and maybe she could play opposite Frank Langella. Oh, wait, no, he's busy. Frank Langella is looking to take on a much different role on Broadway next season.
Yeah, after winning his fourth Tony 3 months and 3 days ago, Frank Langella is already looking for his next juicy role. Our friend Jeremy Gerard, who is back writing for Deadline again, thank goodness, reported yesterday that Langella will begin rehearsals in July for a gender-bent production of Arthur Kopitz's Oh Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Hung You in the Closet, and I'm Feeling So Sad, out at the La Jolla Playhouse. The hope is that the production will then make a move to Broadway sometime next season. Now, what makes this unusual is that Langella will be playing Madame Rose Petal, a role that was originated on and off Broadway by the incomparable legendary Hermione Gingold. And I can't really even think about her without laughing because she is fantastic. She, of course, is a Tony nominee for playing Madame Armfelt in the original production of A Little Night Music. And in addition to six other Broadway credits, she's a Broadway star, but she's obviously most known for her performances in the film versions of Gigi, for which she won a Golden Globe, and The Music Man. And I was watching some interviews of her just as I was typing up the script, and we talked about Stritch yesterday, and she was always a hoot, but Hermione is a very different hoot in her own right. I saw her sing it, in her later years, sing a song from Evita just sitting on a couch in a British talk show, and it was delightful. Anyway, back to the story. When the show was adapted for the screen, Hermione was replaced by Rosalind Russell, and the incredible Robert Morse replaced Sam Waterston, who originated his role on Broadway. Barbara Harris was the only stage star to recreate her role on film. The play, which is subtitled A Pseudo-Classical Tragifarce in a Bastard French, is described as a farce in three scenes and revolves around an overbearing mother who travels to a luxury resort in the Caribbean, bringing along her son and her deceased husband, preserved in a casket. Mm. James, I think that Frank Langella belongs on the Mount Rushmore of American actors. So if he wants to slip on a gown and some lingerie for the role, I'm not going to be mad about that.
Wait, he's doing Rocky Horror?
He very well could, but this is a this is a role that apparently involves some lingerie and a gown and some dresses. Good for him. I mean, I think Frank Langella proved with The Father that he is still fully capable of giving a fully realized performance. So more power to him, man. I love me some Frank Langella.
Great. That's a good lead into our show and casting updates.
Yeah, yesterday, New York's Signature Theater confirmed casting and began selling tickets for their off-Broadway revival of Ethel Fugard's Master Harold and the Boys. The show will begin performances on October 18th and will run through November 27th. And will star Fela Tony nominee Sa Ngaoja as Willie, Grease Live and Brighton Beach Memoirs, and Arcadia's Noah Robbins as Hallie, and Leon Addison Brown, most recently on Broadway in last season's Misery, as Sam. The show is set in South Africa in 1950, smack dab in the middle of the apartheid era, and discusses how institutional racism, bigotry, or hatred can become absorbed by those who live under it. The 1982 original Broadway production starred Lonnie Price, Zakes Moquet, and Danny Glover. Also in this section, the Broadway transfer of MTC's two-hander, Heisenberg, begins performances in just 5 days. But yesterday, the production announced that in partnership with our friends over at TodayTix, the show would be the first on Broadway to ever offer a mobile rush program in addition. No, cut that in addition. There's no in addition. As any rent head can tell you, rush ticketing traditionally requires customers to arrive in person at the box office on the morning of a performance to purchase same-day discounted tickets. But with the TodayTix app, ticket buyers can now purchase rush tickets directly from their mobile devices. There will be a limited number of tickets available for $30 beginning at 10 a.m. on the day of the performance, and it will be first come, first serve. Now, here's the kicker, James. TodayTix knows how to maximize its social media strategy. In order to gain access to the rush tickets, customers must obviously download the TodayTix app and then unlock the rush functionality by sharing on Facebook and Twitter. So if you loved the TodayTix lottery updates on Twitter and Facebook last season, get ready for some streams of TodayTix rush program posts. So be ready for that. I'm sure no one will be annoyed by that in the least. Now, finally in this section, James, a story that's a little prickly and I want to talk about a little bit when we're done. But The Stage, a website that you and I both admire over in the UK, is reporting that Sir Cameron McIntosh has sent out a memo to his London and UK touring productions informing understudies, swings, and alternates not to post their performance schedules on social media until it has been released by their individual productions. While a spokesperson for McIntosh said that it is completely acceptable for the performers to inform friends and family about when they're going to be going on, they don't want it to become public too soon because, quote, "We see social media as a very important way of promoting our shows through our own efforts and through our associates. However, there is information that could be commercially sensitive, that we believe needs to be controlled by the management." Now, James, I obviously understand why a production doesn't want word getting out too soon that a star won't be in a role for certain performances that can drag down the box office. But understudies are actors too, and they have fan bases. So this just feels massively disrespectful to those performers. We've talked before about how many times we've seen understudies and just been blown away about how good they are. These are star-making opportunities for these people, and it really feels sad that someone as influential as Cameron McIntosh is going to try to poo-poo them from getting the word out about their performances.
So here's what happens with when people try to manage technology out of their control, such as what Cameron McIntosh is saying. You can't do this. You can't put the genie back in the bottle, per se, especially in Aladdin. And you have to embrace technology. You can't fight technology. So Cameron McIntosh is a great, great thinker of our time, and he needs to embrace the technology somehow and make it work for him on his side, similar to how today's Tix is making it work for them.
Yeah. Now, James, you obviously work in a lot of technological environments, and you've helped large companies set up things. When they set up their system, do they have any, I know you don't do a lot of like social media stuff, but do these companies have social media directives for their employees on what they can and can't post?
Absolutely.
So this isn't necessarily an HR type of issue. This isn't like some violation of, you know, general HR code, but it's just a little different because social media is such a major part of individual performer and show marketing.
Yeah, and the relationship between an actor and a show is not really an employer-employee relationship. Well, you have to also understand that there's a union in there, and the union probably has I don't know if Equity has anything in the contract about social media, but
the British version of Equity has said, and this was part of the Stage story, that they will be meeting to discuss social media use soon, but they did not have anything on the books as of yet.
In my opinion, the British version of Equity, also called Equity there, British Equity, is a much, much weaker union than it is here in the States.
Sure.
I'm interested to see if they're going to have something there. But I think that Cameron McIntosh and all the other people out there on the West End need to embrace the technology and make it work for them. I mean, I don't know if you ever followed West End Producer.
Not closely, but I'm familiar.
So West End Producer is a snarky Twitter account on the West End that really broke news repeatedly, and nobody could figure out who it was. It was totally anonymous. I think for a full year, really had everybody quaking in their boots. So you have to embrace the stuff. You can't control it. It's out there. And, what are you going to do? Two people are a conversation. Three people are a conspiracy.
Sounds like our presidential race.
All right. Next up, Broadway's first family gets platysfied at Jonah's wedding.
Yeah, first family might be a stretch, but there's a lot of Broadway in this family. So, James, on Sunday, September 4th, Jonah Platt, who wrapped up his Broadway debut as Fiero in Wicked at the end of July, married Courtney Galliano, a dancer and actress who finished fourth on the fourth season of So You Think You Can Dance. And I'm not ashamed to admit, had quite the crush on her at the time. Well, anyway, now Jonah is the son of mega producer Mark Platt and the brother of Dear Evan Hansen star Ben Platt. So at what appears to be the rehearsal dinner, in lieu of traditional toasts, all of Jonah's siblings, Samantha, Hannah, Michael, Henry, and Ben, sang a reworked version of Satisfied from Hamilton called Platisfied. James, I love this type of stuff. I would never be caught dead doing any of this stuff, but I love it nonetheless. And in playing the 6 degrees of wedding performances, Lin-Manuel Miranda posted earlier this week that it was in fact the 6th anniversary of his bridal party surprising his wife Vanessa with a performance of L'Chaim to Life from Fiddler on the Roof at their wedding reception. Now, James, did you do anything crazy like this at your wedding? Did you bust out some falsettos or Joanna from Sweeney Todd shows? I know you've done a lot.
Yeah, not so much. You really don't want to do falsettos at your wedding. Give you, if you know, if you follow Marvin's life there, you know. But no, very traditional non-theatrical wedding.
Okay. Well, we'll have videos of both of these very theatrical wedding performances in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com.
All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino at BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending a little bit of your Thursday with us, and we'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow.